And open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11 today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. And I want to talk this morning about faith and the power of God. Faith and the power of God. Last week we looked at faith and the call of God. And today I want to look at faith and the power of God. God came to Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham was a pagan, a moon worshiper. And God appeared to him, the Bible says, the God of glory appeared to Abraham and made two wonderful promises to him. He said, I'm going to give you a land. And he said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. You're going to have many descendants. The problem was, Abraham had no children and his wife Sarah was barren. And so what Abraham needed was the power of God to move upon his life and upon his wife's life. And that's what verses 11 and 12 are all about. Faith and the power of God. Now, some of your Bibles, especially if you have an NIV Bible, in verses 11 and 12, it mentions Sarah, but Sarah is not the subject of verses 11 and 12 if you have an NIV Bible. I've looked at this text in the Greek, and Sarah is the subject, and the best evidence is that he is talking about Sarah and the faith of Sarah. So here in the list of the heroes of faith, he introduces the first heroine of faith, the first female hero, Sarah. Now, we know that Sarah's faith was not perfect, but Sarah did exercise faith. Otherwise, the promises that God had made to Abraham would have never come to pass. And so the author wants to demonstrate or expose Sarah's faith as an encouragement to us in our need of the power of God in our own lives. God makes promises to us just like He made promises to Abraham, and those promises can only be fulfilled by His strength and His power. And so this is a very practical passage of Scripture. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that by your strength and by your power, this passage of Scripture would come off of this page and enter into the hearts of your people. And Father, I pray that it would be used of you to transform hearts and lives today for your glory and for your honor. May we as individuals and may we as a church experience your power at work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God makes promises to us, and those promises are realized by His power. What do we need to learn from the life of Sarah today? The first thing I think that we need to take note of today in verse 11 is that we are to receive the power of God by faith. We're to receive the power of God by faith. God's promises are not something for us to achieve. God's promises are something for us to receive by faith. And Sarah is a wonderful illustration of this. In the Greek, it says this. It says, by faith, Sarah herself being barren. It's significant that it says, by faith, Sarah herself. Why does it say Sarah herself? It says Sarah herself, I believe, because Sarah thought somehow God was going to fulfill His promises to Abraham through someone else other than herself, through someone else other than her, because she was barren. Even in her youth, she was unable to bear a child. It was physically impossible for her. Now she was past the age of childbearing. In the book of Genesis, it said it had ceased to be with Sarah according to the manner of women. In other words, Sarah had already passed the age of being able to bear children. And so Sarah had heard her husband speaking of these wonderful promises that God had made to him. In Genesis chapter 15, God comes to Abraham and He says, Abraham, fear not. He said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Why was Abraham afraid? Abraham was afraid because he said to God, "What will you give me seeing that I go childless? God, you've made these wonderful promises to me about how I'm going to be a great nation, yet I continue to go childless." And he said, "The heir in my house is a slave from Damascus named Eleazar." And God says, "No, that's not going to be the heir, and that's not going to be the one through whom I'm going to fulfill my promise." He said, "Abraham, from your own body I'm going to raise up a people." And the Bible says there that Abraham believed God, and it was credited unto him as righteousness. Abraham believed that God somehow was going to perform a miracle. And the Bible says when Abraham focused his faith on God and the seed that was going to come through his body, the Bible said at that time God declared Abraham righteous in his eyes by faith because he believed in the Lord. Then in Genesis chapter 16, something interesting is said in verse 1. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Sarah bore no children to Abraham. And Sarah said to Abraham," I've got an idea, Abraham, "take my handmaiden, my servant from Egypt." Her name was Hagar. Take Hagar as your wife. And allow God's promises to be fulfilled through this young woman, Hagar. Whenever we talk about Sarah doing this, sometimes we look down on Sarah, but really she was doing something very selfless, wasn't she? She was saying, "Abraham, I want God's promises to be fulfilled, but God can never do through me what He's told you that He's going to do. I can't bear children, and I've borne you no children. So here, take this other woman." And by the way, in that society, it was not God's perfect will, but in that nomadic society, it was acceptable for a man to have more than one wife. We know later through progressive revelation that God wants one man, one woman for one lifetime. That's His plan. But then it was acceptable, at least in the eyes of the people there in that society. And so she did something very selfish. She did something very sincere. She said, "I want you to have a child through this woman since you can't do it through me." And of course, this woman, Hagar, had a child. His name was Ishmael. Ishmael, the father of the Arabs. And Ishmael, as soon as he was born, there began to be contention. Actually, as soon as he was conceived, there was contention between Sarah and Hagar. They didn't like each other very much. Hagar started to look down upon her master or her mistress, Sarah. And they became angry with one another. And Sarah drove her off out into the wilderness. And that's where Hagar met the Lord. And met the Lord by a well and named that place, "Thou, Lord, seest me." And God even acted graciously to Hagar. But Ishmael was never God's plan. Ishmael was not the way that God wanted His will to be carried out. God wanted to do something miraculous through Sarah. God wanted to do something miraculous through Abraham to fulfill His promise, to fulfill His will. You say, "How does that relate to me?" Well, it relates to you perfectly because God has a plan for your life. God has made you promises. The Bible says it's God's will that everyone be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yet you can't save yourself from hell. You can't save yourself from sin. God has to do something miraculous in order for you to be saved, in order for your nature to be changed. God has to intervene by His power. He has to do something. You can't do it on your own effort. If you do, you're just producing an Ishmael type existence, something very natural. You're fleshing it out. If you're a believer, the Bible says it's God's will for you to be conformed, your character to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's God's will for your life. He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to think like Jesus. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He wants you to experience the joy of Jesus. Jesus actually said, "My joy give I unto you, not as the world giveth. I give you my joy." God wants you to experience His peace. God wants you to experience His righteousness, not just positionally, but in practice in your life. God has desired for you to be righteous, but you can't attain any of these things by your own effort. And there are many people that set out to do that. They hear the promise of God. They read the Word of God. They understand the commands of God. And then they say, Lord, I've never seen it happening before in my life, but I'm going to do everything I can to create the character of Christ within my own being and within my own life. And the result is they have an Ishmael. They have something that is fleshly, something that is natural. They have a joy that may be a put-on, fake kind of joy. A peace that's not really real because they're trying to achieve something that God can only achieve supernaturally by His power. God tells us, I want you to be witnesses unto me. I want you to bear witness to the resurrected Christ. And so we say, I'm going to try to be the best witness that I can possibly be. I'm going to learn everything that I can learn. I'm going to memorize a little formula that they teach me to memorize. And I'm going to, doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit's leading me to do, I'm going to try to keep them to that little formula. And I'm going to win some souls. And what the Bible says, that His Holy Spirit would come upon us and then we would receive power to be witnesses unto Him. We can't be effective witnesses unto Him apart from the power of Jesus Christ. Apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but I've produced converts. There's fruit in my witnessing. Yes, but the fruit of your witnessing is Ishmael kind of fruit. Something that can be given a fleshly explanation. Something that can be done naturally. I'm convinced that many used car salesmen could be given a crash course in the gospel and stand up behind the pulpit and people would come forward and respond. But they wouldn't be responding to Jesus. They'd be responding to the personality of a man. And I think we see that over and over and over again. People are duped and fooled by things that are done naturally. The Bible says that God wants us as a church to reach our community. God wants us to bring glory to Christ. And so we say, what works? What works? And we take what works somewhere else, thinking only in the natural mind, and we try to impose what works somewhere else upon our own church or in our own lives without seeking God's will, God's way, and God's when about what we're supposed to do. And the result of that is an Ishmael kind of result. But that's what churches do all over the country. What program over here? What? Let's grab this program over there. Let's grab what works over here. But God wants us to allow Him to do it His way and in His timing and by His power. And so, does this apply to us? Oh, yes, it applies to us. Sarah herself. God said, no, Sarah, I want you to have a child. Abraham's not going to do it alone. He's going to do it by my power. But you are the woman that I have chosen to fulfill my promise. From you, a great nation is going to spring up. Your name is no longer Sarai, which means contentious. Your name is now Sarah, which means princess. Believe it. I want to use you, God says. And so Sarah herself, by faith, you say, I don't see that faith anywhere in the Old Testament. I don't see Sarah exercising faith. I see Sarah laughing. I see Sarah giving her handmaiden, but I don't see faith. Well, I think these Jewish people that the author was writing to knew that Sarah had exercised faith because they were the evidence of it. If Sarah, being 90 years old, wouldn't have exercised faith, the Jewish nation would have never existed. She came to the place of believing God. It may not be recorded in Scripture, but the evidence is clear, isn't it? Sarah believed God. And the power of God did what only He could do. He took her dead female organs, her female organs that had never worked, her reproductive organs, and He did what only He could do, and He caused her to conceive and have a child named
Isaac. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. God wants to do something in your life. God wants to do something in your character. God wants to do something in this church that cannot be attributed to a program, a technique, or a method. He wants to do something that we can only stand back and say, that was done by the power of Almighty God. That's what He wants to do in your life, in your family, in your character, and in our church. And so we have to receive the power of God by faith. And then secondly, we have to reason by faith. We have to reason by faith. You say, wait a minute, faith and reason, those two things are mutually exclusive. They're oxymorons. No, that's not true. There is a reason that is according to faith. And this was the kind of reason that Sarah used when she decided to exercise faith in God and allow Him to do something in her that only He could do. The Bible said by faith, verse 11, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age. Here's why. Because she judged, or she considered, she reasoned Him faithful who had promised. Now, if you just live by reason without faith, that's called rationalism. And that's the way a lot of people reason. They only think about what they can see, feel, touch, taste, hear. And they don't exercise any faith at all. And they live their lives rationalistically. And they have no place for the supernatural or the divine in their lives. And then there are those who dismiss reason and they simply, according to their own confession, live by faith. We don't reason at all. We just accept it. God says it. And their faith sometimes is very irrational. But God didn't call us to exercise irrational faith. There is a reason that is according to faith. It's the reason that takes into account the existence of a faithful and all-powerful and all-loving God who is real and who exists. It's reason that it includes God in its thinking. And that's the kind of reason that Sarah exercised when she decided to trust God and look beyond her circumstances. She didn't live in denial. Sarah never said, I'm not barren. There are some people today that think this is faith. I'm not barren. I rebuke barrenness in the name of Jesus. It doesn't exist. That's not faith. Faith doesn't deny reality. Faith takes into account reality and says, yes, I'm barren. Yes, I'm past age. But I serve a God who has told me that I'm going to bear a child, and He's greater than my barrenness. He's greater than my impotence. He has power that can do what He's promised He's going to do. That's faith, and that's the kind of faith that was exercised by Sarah. When did that happen? I believe that happened in Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, the Bible says that Abraham and Sarah were in a tent in a place called the Plains of Mamre. And there they were at the Plains of Mamre. Abraham, it's probably a hot day like it's been here, about 103 degrees or more probably. Abraham's sitting in the doorway of the tent and he sees three men walking across the desert. He doesn't know who they are, but Abraham has the character of Christ, and so he wants to be hospitable to these three people, and he begs them to allow him to feed them and give them something to drink and allow them to be refreshed. And they allow him to do that, but one of those three men is the Lord. It's a theophany. And so it's the Lord and two angels. He's walking by. Abraham kills the calf, and they eat veal cutlets and cottage cheese and all this stuff. And no, really. Look at the Genesis account. And after the meal, after they're refreshed, the Lord says, where is Sarah, your wife? She had helped make the meal, you know. And He said, she's in the tent. And the Lord said, this time next year, I'm going to visit her
and she's going to have a son. The Bible says that Sarah laughed within herself. She said, I'm past age and God is going to give me this pleasure. She's close to 90 years old, ladies. Think about it. You know, I someone says it's not a laughing matter. I know that old men can have babies because I've seen Larry King. Have you ever watched him? He's darn near 100. But older women can't have babies. And so Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. The Bible says she laughed within herself. And the Lord said, and this is when I believe that Abraham and Sarah recognized who was in their presence. The Lord says, why does your wife laugh? And Sarah says, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said, yes, you did. And he said these words. He says, is there anything too difficult? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And I believe that's when Sarah exercised faith. She reasoned. Yeah, I'm barren. Yes, I'm old. But is there anything too difficult for the Lord, who called my husband out from the Ur of the Chaldees, who provided for us in the wilderness, who even when my chicken-hearted husband told the Egyptians that I was his sister, God took care of me and plagued the Egyptians. And she came to the conclusion, there's nothing too difficult for the Lord. And until we come to that conclusion that there's nothing that is too difficult for the Lord, we're not able to receive the power that He wants to demonstrate in our lives. We've got to believe that He is who He says He is and that He can do what He says He will do. Somebody gave me that quote the other day, and that's what faith is, isn't it? He is who He says He is, and He can do what He says He will do. And guess what, folks? This is where we have a hard time. He'll do it when and how He wants to. See, it took 25 years from the time God made this promise to Abraham until He fulfilled it. So don't try to do it on your own and produce a little Ishmael. I love the descendants of Ishmael. You know, the Lord loves them, but look at what's going on over there right now. That's the same struggle that we see in the tent of Abraham. That same struggle is being played out according to the Word of God today on the news. We can see it. Nothing good comes from the flesh. We've got to allow God to do what He wants to do in our lives, to perfect that peace in your life, to give you that joy, that peace that passeth all understanding, the power to have a character that is like the character of Jesus Christ, the power to overcome some stronghold that has latched onto your flesh that you've never been able to overcome. You've got to allow God to give you the strength to overcome it. We've got to allow God to make us as a church what He wants us to be by His power so that He gets all the glory. And the only way to do that is to reason by faith that nothing is too difficult for Him. And the result is we will realize what God has promised. That's verse 12. Therefore, from one man, speaking of Abraham, and him as good as dead. Is that the way you guys feel? Him as good as dead. He was 100 years old. He was as good as dead as far as it come, as far as what's being discussed here is concerned. I won't go into any more detail. I'm not one of those real bold kind of preachers that talks about all that junk. And so he was as good as dead. Were born as many as the stars of the sky, innumerable. I read one commentator that said this speaks of his heavenly descendants. But the Bible says that all of us who exercise faith in Christ are descendants of Abraham. We're His heavenly children. And then, as many as the sands of the sea, innumerable. That's His earthly children, the Jews. talking to somebody this week about the Exodus and the millions of people that made up the nation at the time of the Exodus. Imagine walking in that mass of people and looking at everybody who was around you. You wouldn't have any way of being able to count, and it would look like you were amidst the sands of the sea or the stars of the sky, coming out into the desert, walking together. Why? Because Abraham and Sarah believed God. And God, by His power, accomplished what only He could do. Did Sarah see great multitudes? Did Abraham see great multitudes? No. They saw the first fruits. The first fruit was Isaac. And they knew when God kept His word about that first fruit when Isaac was born. They knew. They never saw it, but they knew God was going to keep His promise. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as an earnest, as proof that one day we're going to be completely and totally victorious and glorified. Our flesh is going to be put off and we're going to shine like the stars in the sky in our glorified, resurrected bodies. How do we know that? He's already given us the first fruits of the Holy Spirit as a down payment. We don't realize it yet, but we will, and we know we will, because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. That's what that means. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the life of faith. That's faith and the power of God. Now, what about your life can you look at today, and what about our church can we look at today and not have any human explanation for? And say, that's the power of God. God did it. He changed me. He accomplished it. If you can think of something, praise God. If you can't, say, God, teach me to receive Your power and to live by faith. He'll do it because that's His will. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that You'd speak to the hearts of Your people. May Your Word accomplish what You've desired for it to accomplish in the lives of each person that's here. In Jesus' name we pray. And for His glory we pray. Amen.